Blog Talk Radio.
Take a licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro, providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. ManaPro, nurturing life. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer. My co-host is poultry advocate and author Pat Foreman. Today is Thursday, August 19th, and I'd like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. You can follow the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show 24 hours a day at our website, chickenwhisperer.com. That's chickenwhisperer.com. From there, you can follow us on Twitter, become a fan on Facebook, visit our blog, sign up for our monthly e-newsletter, The Chicken Scratch, and of course, get all kinds of great Chicken Whisperer gear. If you're listening live today on Blog Talk Radio, I invite you to come join us in the live chicken chat room that's going on right now. You can talk with other backyard poultry with the Chicken Whisperer fans and other chicken owners from around this great land. You can also ask any questions you may have for our special guest when we have them on. Now, that will be key for today's show. You can ask any questions you may have for our special guest. That includes today. All you have to do to join us in the chat room is click on the Chat Now button at our homepage there at Blog Talk Radio. Take a moment to register. That'll get you your own unique, fun, and creative screen name. Then you can come on in, sit a spell, have a great time, meet some new friends, and talk all about backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. While you're there at Blog Talk Radio, I would like to also invite you to mark this radio show as a favorite and request to be on our friends list while you're there. Hope you'll take a moment to do this today. And again, I want to thank you all for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro. ManaPro is committed to providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. No matter the animal, no matter the product, you can be certain that ManaPro cares as much about the well-being of your flock as you do. So try one of the many poultry products offered at a retailer near you. ManaPro, nurturing life. Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com, that's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
Since 1947, Randall Berkey has been providing quality products to their customers. They have everything you could ever want or need for backyard poultry. Feeders, waterers, medications, supplements, nesting boxes, and even coops. Visit them online at randallberkey.com and get 10% off your entire order when you use the coupon code WHISPER. That's randallberkey.com.
Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron.
Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer, here to tell you that if you have backyard poultry, nothing is more important than making sure your feathered friends are safe from infectious poultry diseases. Learn the simple steps to keep your birds healthy by visiting this website, healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov. That's healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov.
A message from the USDA.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
No, no, no. It's not Super Chicken, but it is the Chicken Whisperer and my wonderful co-host, poultry advocate and author, Pat Foreman. Hey, Pat, how you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing great today. Boy, I was up at the crack of dawn, just frisky and ready to go, and we've got some storm fronts coming in, so I thought the place is looking really awful, so I just decided I was going to mow between the storms, and it looks so much better. Do you notice there's something about having the landscape kind of trimmed up? It makes you feel better. I don't like to think my emotions are linked to the landscape, but I think they are. How are you doing today?
Busy, up early as always, and my publisher has been, let's just say, riding my tail a little bit on getting some pictures sent to them. So yeah, it's been really busy with the book. I've been really busy with the Chicks for Charity event that's coming up, trying to get everything situated and settled and organized, and people signed up for this, that, and the other, from tables to coolers to fostering the baby chicks. So I've had an extremely busy morning, but I think I posted on my Facebook page last week. I said something like, it's been a very busy day, but I love what I do, so it's been a day of fun, or something like that. So it's just one of those things, very busy, but because I enjoy what I do, it's a fun busy. So I'm very blessed to be able to do what I love to do. So, yeah, very, very perfect. So Andy needs a Hen Saver to save him from his publisher.
That's clever. They're treading on your back, Whisper.
No kidding, but hey, it's all in good, and it's all for the benefit of getting this book out there and keeping it on schedule. And you know all about that, Pat. We have
Whisper. I've never been on schedule with any of the books. I mean, what are they going to do, fire me? But anyway, it is. It takes so much to get a book out. I mean, the enormous amount of effort. You think it's just really easy, 300 pages or so with an index, but my God, the details and the amount of attention and detail that goes into it is just absolutely enormous. But anyway, I'll send you a Hen Saver. We'll make it the Whisper size if you want one.
Telling you what, it may actually come in handy. So yeah, just and again, right after the show, I'll be hitting the old grind again and getting some things done. But like I said, it's nice and fun. We've got a great show for everybody today, and it's going to take everybody's participation, just like the Chicks for Charity event and other big things. If they're worth doing, they're worth doing the right way. But we'll need everybody's participation to make this show go right. Participation from all the great folks in the live chicken chat room. Folks that are calling in to listen to the show, folks that want to call in with their questions. But again, being the second Thursday of the month, of course, it is Poultry Today with Dr. McCray. And she is going to be answering all of the questions you've always wanted to know about. Questions you're like, man, I wish I knew the answer to that. Or, I've got this issue going on with my flock. I wish I knew the answer to that. I don't know who to ask about this, and this is a tough question. I've always wondered or pondered about this, that, or the other. Well, today is your chance. Don't be shy. You'll be able to call in live and ask your question for Dr. McCray. You'll be able to put the question into the chat room as well. So just so you know in the chat room how all that works, we do have live video, live webcam during the radio show. Over to the right-hand side of the chat room is a list of everybody participating. And you get the very, very top, you'll see Chicken Whisperer. Next to my name is a little icon of a little webcam. Just click on that little webcam icon, and the video will pop right up, and you have live video for the radio show. And you can do that with other members in the chat room as well. Up to 5 videos you can have streaming, if you will, on your computer screen, if the other person has webcam as well. So you can ask and request people in the chat room to share webcam video. So there you go. We've got that going on. If you're in the chat room and have a question for Dr. McCray during the show, we encourage you to put your questions in all caps, so Pat and I, and Bridget is also in the room, we can take a look at those questions and try to get as many as we can on the air to help everybody who's listening. We also encourage you to call in. The call-in number to talk live to Dr. Bridget McCray, 347-637-3237. That's 347-637-3237. And that's all you have to do regarding that. And we'll try to get you in queue in the switchboard, and you can ask your question live on the radio. So we do have a great show lined up for you today. I do have to a special announcement. No, normally it would be a little bit more secretive than this. But yesterday, and this is not the first time this has happened, when we had another password collection for poultry protection contest. We had it back in October, November of last year, I believe it was, and we issued a secret password during every show for, I think it was 25 shows that time. We're doing the contest again, sponsored by MyPetChicken.com. They have provided a beautiful chicken coop for us to give away here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, and so we're having another password collection for poultry protection chicken coop contest. And so every day during the radio show, I will be issuing, hopefully, a secret password for you to collect. And then on Friday, September the 10th, you'll have to be, I will also be issuing a password on that show. But also later in the show, we'll be giving that coop away. You'll have to be the correct caller, for example, caller number 50, and you will have to recite live on the air all 20 passwords that we've issued over the last 20 shows. Now, this happened last time. It was not a problem, and it's not going to be a problem this time. But yesterday, there was no password actually issued. We just got so carried away with the awesome show that we were having that we did not actually issue a password yesterday. So here we go. Yesterday's password for Wednesday, August 18th, is going to be scratch. Yesterday's password, the 18th of August, Wednesday, the 18th of August, for yesterday's show, the password will be scratch. So make sure you write that down. For yesterday, we issued a password on Monday the 16th, Tuesday the 17th, Wednesday the 18th, the password is scratch, and sometime during the radio show today, we will also issue a secret password sometime. It'll be embedded in the show, beginning, middle, end, in between commercials somewhere. So just jot those passwords down, and then on the 10th of September, Friday, once you collect that password, we'll open up the phone lines when we start the contest, and one particular caller will have a chance to win that beautiful chicken coop from MyPetChicken.com. So again, yesterday's password on Wednesday the 18th of August is scratch. All righty. It is now time to welcome. Let me get over here to the switchboard here. Absolutely. And, of course, you all know every Thursday is sponsored by McMurray Hatchery. And they have provided us a great prize for our chicken trivia contest at the end of today's show. And Matthew is here to tell us a little bit about the finalists for the contest that they're having over at McMurray Hatchery. Matthew, welcome back.
Hi, Andy. Thank you.
Yes.
Today we're putting the finishing touches on the user poll so that you can see and rate the semifinalist. We've gone through and selected the 20 semifinalists for the That's So Sweet category of the contest. So either later today or tomorrow, we'll have a user poll up for that where you can see them and rate them, and that will, when that's done, we'll select the five finalists for that category based on your ratings. And the poll is going to be open to everyone, and we'll post the information about it and the link on our blog, blog.mcmurrayhatchery.com. So that's all I had there on the photo contest.
Great. And great, great. There are some really adorable photos on that on your website too, Matt.
Yeah,
I mean, some
really
of those are just they're keepers. Maybe even screensaver quality. Some of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been real tough to try to pick the semifinalist on these.
Yeah, I bet it would be.
Yeah.
Who's on your committee to do it?
Me, of course, and then
okay,
and then Bud, and then our CTO.
Oh, what a fun time!
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that what a fun job. You guys do get the fun jobs.
Yeah.
Like Andy and I, we have our fun jobs. Yeah.
And then I also wanted, Pat, you raised the question last week, is there anything special that we should do when we're receiving chickens that are shipped this time of year, day-old
mm-hmm.
chicks,
mm-hmm.
since it's so hot during the shipment? And the recommendations that we have on it are that but the chicks are used to the high temperatures because they're used to near 100-degree temperatures from the incubator, so they actually enjoy
right.
the high temperatures. And they don't have their natural feathers, their full feathers in yet, so they have difficulty keeping themselves warm. So we still recommend brooding them just like you normally would any other time of year under a heat source until their feathers start to come in. You know, beyond just the downy feathers. And then the other thing we recommend is when you get them, when you first receive them, is to take each one and dip its beak in the water so that it familiarizes the chick with knowing how to drink the water and where to get it from.
Mm-hmm.
And if they seem at all stressed from, you know, if you've ordered away for them, if they seem at all stressed from the trip, then we also recommend using a vitamin supplement that you add to their drinking water, like Quick Chick or Broiler Booster.
Mm-hmm.
And you can even add 2 or 3 tablespoons per quart of water of table sugar, and that'll give them a little extra boost to help them get started for the first couple of days.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. Well, that's good to know, because it makes sense. They're used to about 95, 100 degrees when they hatch, but there's no problem with them getting overheated in some of the. Did you put like less chicks in, per box, or give them little thermoses with Kool-Aid or anything so they can make the trip in comfort?
Yeah. No, I don't think we changed the how many are shipped per box at all.
But okay, so the protocol stays the same pretty much.
Yeah. And the other recommendation we have is when you do first get the chicks is to let the water that you feed them, not use cold tap water, but let the water
yes.
acclimatize to room temperature, and then that way it doesn't lower their body temperature when they first start drinking.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, great. Thanks, Matt. That's a good tip. We had Peter Brown was on saying that, especially in hot weather, his concern was that they not ship the chicks out right away. And I know you guys do. You've got such a tight schedule. But he was saying that extra, even one day delay can cause extra stress in the really hot weather.
Mm-hmm.
So he was concerned about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, super. Thank you, Matt.
Sure.
Hey, Matt. Matthew, how is the iPhone app coming? I'm getting lots of subscribers to that Chick Selector.
Yeah, I think, I don't know how many people have actually tried out the app, but the ones that have, it seems like we've gotten a lot of feedback on it, so it seems like people really like it.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
Do you have an
Excellent.
iPhone, Whisper? Do you have the app?
No, I am a BlackBerry type of guy.
A BlackBerry kind of guy. Oh, man, I'm such an iPhone kind of girl, but I don't quite have one yet. I'm sorry. Say again.
Have you tried it, Pat?
No, I'm still stuck on Samsung, some little cheap thing. I'm aspiring to the iPhone level, though. I do have a MacBook Pro. My publisher just got me a new MacBook Pro, but not an iPhone yet. If I traveled more, I would have one. But maybe when I get back on the lecture circuit, I'll get one. We'll see. Is there any way we can try it, just downloading it to our computer, Matt?
No, not right now. We have some things in the works for it to where everybody will be able to use it, but it's going to take us a little bit. We've gotten a number of requests for it on the Droid, so we're looking into that. And then it's also something that we'd like to put on our website.
Nice.
It's just a web-based application, so that'll open it up to everybody.
Okay, and are you doing the programming on that?
No, I'm not.
Good. Well, not good. It's just programming is its own field. I think you have to have a special, separate way of thinking to do programming. And I took it when I was in college way back when with Fortran 4, and I never got it. I just never got it. So anyway, yeah.
We had a hard enough time programming my watch.
Yeah, really? Or the DVD.
No kidding. VCR? Oh, my goodness gracious. People. There are a lot of bald people out there now pulling their hair out from the 80s from trying to program that VCR, and 99% of them flash 12 o'clock, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Is that what happened to you, Whisper? You were trying to program your VCR?
No, actually, I've got two ex-wives, and that's why I've pulled all my hair out. So just for the record, it took me three times the charm. It took me a little while, but that's probably my issue.
Yeah, it does get better the older we get. I think there's something to do with experience that plays. Yeah, the first time I think it's kind of hard to get it right.
There's a learning curve, and yeah, absolutely, I completely agree. So, Matthew, also want to thank you for providing the awesome video that you have, the DVD that we're going to be giving away at the end of the show to Shai and Robert. And so that's an absolutely awesome DVD that we're going to be giving away to one lucky winner at the end of the show. We will have a chicken trivia sponsored by McMurray Hatchery, and one lucky winner is going to walk away with that awesome DVD. Hang on one second. Got a little message here. Perfect. So, Matthew, thank you very much for joining us today. Thanks for answering Pat's question from last week when you were here, which is great, and keeping us informed about the contest. We're anxious to hear the winners as y'all start to announce those. And anytime you have any chick specials or anything like that, any news, definitely send it our way, and we'll try to get it out there as best we can.
Okay. Thank you, Andy.
You
okay,
bet.
Thank you,
Matthew,
Matt.
For calling in.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. All righty. Very good. That was Matthew with McMurrayHatchery.com. And so he was telling us a little bit about their photo contest. They're starting to get some finalists, and boy, the prizes are going to be starting to be issued here shortly. And of course, we had to ask him about the iPhone app that they've got, which is really cool, the Chick Selector. You can put in what best meets your needs, and wham, it pops out a whole selection of chicks that would accommodate your needs and why you want to keep backyard poultry and what you're looking for. So that's very cool. And, of course, the DVD, Mad City Chickens, that they've provided for today's chicken Whisperer trivia contest at the end of the radio show. So let me see if I've got any chickens in the news, other than the fact that the egg recall that we've been talking about gets bigger and bigger and bigger every day. It's something like 380 million eggs now. It started off with, like 180, then it went to 220, then 280. Now it's over 300 million eggs that have been recalled. So you can see all that information and, of course, all of our chickens in the news at our Facebook page. Just go to facebook.com/thechickenwhisper, facebook.com/thechickenwhisper, and you can see all of our chickens in the news segments. We do have one here, some good news. Beaverton City Council approves keeping chickens in the city. This comes to us from OregonLive.com, and it was by Brad Schmidt of the Oregonian, I guess you pronounce it that way. Beaverton City Council approves keeping chickens in the city. Julia Sattler waited more than a year for the chicken vote. So when the moment finally arrived and passed so quickly this week, she sat in the back of the Beaverton City Hall, slightly puzzled by the voting. We looked at each other and were like, did that just pass? They said, based on the decision. Yeah. The Beaverton City Council on Monday gave its final approval for a new urban chicken ordinance that allows residents to keep up to 4 hens at most single-family houses in the city. The quickly tallied 5-0, unanimous 5-0 vote came near the end of a 96-minute meeting, prompting a round of applause from chicken champions and chicken owners. Says it's exciting. They credited city leaders for responding to residents' requests for chickens. For me, it's very much about food security. I want people to get local food. I want it to be as close to me as possible. And so another city, if you listen, we have all the time about 85% of the cities that approach allowing backyard poultry or changing the ordinances to allow backyard poultry end up doing so. It's just the other 10 to 15% that don't even look at the facts because you can't answer the facts. So congratulations, all the folks in Beaverton, and congratulations on all your hard work, and start putting those chickens in your backyard. Speaking of chickens in the backyard and getting chickens, again, y'all know if you've been listening, Saturday, August the 28th, largest baby chick giveaway in the world as far as we know. 1,100 baby chicks are going to be given away. We're hoping to have between 175 and 225, somewhere around 200 new families in the Atlanta area that will start their backyard flocks on that day. The 1,100 chicks have been donated by all of our wonderful sponsored hatcheries on this radio show, and of course Belt Hatchery as well that's come through. So we thank all of them for providing that. We'll have an on-site store, TC Country, that's going to be there providing all the new owners everything they're going to need. We've got just tons and tons of literature, continuing ed information, brochures, two avian vets, one from the USDA will be there overseeing the program. So it's going to be awesome. The press release should go out today or tomorrow. And we'll keep you posted on all of that and how that big of an hour. We'll definitely be taking lots of pictures. We will be broadcasting live from the event. That'll be one of our Saturday special broadcasts, Saturday, August the 28th, just in about 10 days. And we'll be broadcasting live. I'm not sure what time yet because I will be needed set up and break down and whatnot, but we'll give you the exact time we'll be broadcasting live from that event. We may even try to arrange it to where we can have some type of video through the webcam of the event. We'll be interviewing some new chicken owners, why they came out, what they anticipate with their baby chicks, interviewing some kids that will be their children as well, and their excitement with getting backyard poultry. So we'll have that coming up. A special Saturday broadcast on the 28th of August. We're going to go to you got any chickens in the news, Pat, for us today before we go to break and bring on the doctor?
Yeah, well, I have two little newsettes. They're just really short things, just one paragraph each, but they caught my eye, and I think that they're pretty nice to know about. One is about Hawaiian sugarcane. We've done a lot of discussions about sugar and sucrose and high fructose corn syrup. Well, and Hawaiian sugarcane now will be used to make biofuel for Navy jets and ships. That's the right use for sugar. The U.S. government will spend at least $10 billion over 5 years to fund in research and development at Maui their cane fields for crops capable of fueling Navy operations. And this is wonderful. The Navy has set the goal of using biofuels to meet half of their fuel needs by 2020. Now, that's kicking the oil habit. That's really getting off the oil habit. And they say Hawaii's moderate climate is seen as ideal for growing biofuel crops, and it's also a wonderful place to do research and development and to spend 5 years working into sugarcane fields. And the other one had just made me laugh, but I thought I'd say it. It says, debt might be in your genes. It says people with a certain genetic makeup carry more credit card debt, according to a new and international survey. The researchers in the U.S. and the U.K. examined more than 2,000 young adults age 18 to 26 and people with certain variations of genes that break down neurotransmitters in the brain cells had up to 16% more credit card debt than others that lack the genetic variations. So the previous studies have also linked these certain genes to impulsive behavior. So now I know what was wrong with my ex, is that he just had a genetic predisposition for spending. I mean, this information needs to be part of nuptial agreements, I think, to have genetic testing just to make sure they don't have the spending gene. So you had your hand up there, Whisper. Are you among the gene?
I am. I have that gene. I have that in my genes without a doubt, you know. But I'm thankful and fortunate to have an awesome wife that keeps me in line. So, I'm guilty.
Oh, yeah. It seems like in a relationship there's always one spender and one saver. God forbid there are two of either one, but they kind of balance each other. But, boy, two spenders in a household, I mean, they're just going to go bankrupt, I think. Oh, dear. Anyway.
I agree. Well, thanks for those. Very interesting. Kicking the fuel habit, jet fuel. Amazing story. And then, of course, everybody listening can relate to that second story. So we're going to go to a quick commercial break. When we come back, it's what you've been waiting for, Poultry Today with Dr. McCray. And open forum, open phone lines. Go ahead and call in right now with all of your questions, 347-637-3237. That's 347-637-3237. And you're listening via phone. Just go ahead and give us a call, and then we'll start taking questions in the chat room as well. So, again, that number to call, 347-637-3237. This is your opportunity to ask any questions you've had, whether you've been keeping poultry for 100 years, for 50 years, or for 5 days. You have questions, we've got answers right here on the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisper radio show, and we'll get to those questions as soon as we come back right after this short break.
Established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waters, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-0651 or visit them online at gqfradio.com. That's gqfradio.com.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry, from rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams. Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
ManaPro understands that poultry owners are as diverse as the birds they care for, which is why they offer both medicated and non-medicated starters. Whichever product you choose, you know you're getting great nutrition for your new chicks. Look for ManaPro products at a retailer near you. ManaPro, nurturing life.
Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer. If you're in the market for a new incubator, then look no further than GQF. They have a great selection of tabletop and cabinet-style incubators at prices you can afford. I love my GQF Genesis Model 1588. It has a large picture window and an automatic thermostat, which makes for a better hatch every time. Go pick out your new incubator at gqfradio.com. That's gqfradio.com. If you're looking for a quality-made chicken coop, then look no further than Horizon Structures. When you purchase from Horizon Structures, you can rest assured that your product is produced and delivered with the highest craftsmanship through traditional value, honesty, and integrity. All chicken coops are delivered fully assembled and ready to use right away. To pick out your new Horizon Structures chicken coop, visit horizonstructures.com. That's horizonstructures.com.
McMurray Hatchery is the world's oldest and largest rare breed hatchery. They have been providing their customers quality poultry since 1917 and have more than 110 different breeds to choose from. Be sure to sign up for their weekly special email at McMurrayHatchery.com and receive a $5 internet exclusive coupon to use on your first internet order. McMurray Hatchery, the world's largest and oldest rare breed hatchery.
How would you like a punch in the beak?
Actually, in reality, I am Super Chicken.
All right. Thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. It is the second Thursday of the month. Excuse me. Actually, it's the third. And we've got poultry today with Dr. McCray. Dr. McCray, welcome to the show.
Hi, everybody. How are you?
Wonderful. Doing great.
Great.
Glad
welcome,
to
Professor.
Hear oh, hey there, Pat. Glad to hear everyone's doing very well. Well, today we're going to be opening up to all the questions that you all might have. As you recall, we did this earlier in the year, somewhere between spring and summer, and we had lots of really good questions. And I know a lot of people would probably have questions about this big egg recall that Andy had just mentioned. So one of the things I did is I put your a list of your local APHIS contacts or your NPIP contacts in case you're interested in having an NPIP approved flock. Now, every state does it differently. So depending on where you live, you have to look up and see what they require you to do. I used to live in California and the program was not free. Here in Delaware, the program is free. So if someone here in Delaware wants to have an NPIP-approved flock, all they have to do is contact our Delaware Department of Ag, and they ask for Mr. Bob Moore, and he can get you enrolled in the program, and he can help you do, well, he does the blood testing for it, and it's completely free. In California, I recall that you could still sign up. The blood testing was not free, and therefore they had very few backyard participants. Although a few did give it a shot, the costs were prohibitive in some cases for the blood testing. So you have to do your homework and find out what your state requires you to do. So that sheet that I posted in the chat room, you can click on that and you can contact the individual that's listed there so that you can learn more about enrolling in the program. And I'm thinking if there's enough interest in the region, every year here in Delaware we have something called Ag Week. For those who are in the region, they know what I'm talking about. It's in January when you're not doing so much with regards to, you know, your gardens and whatnot. So that's a great time to hold a conference on ag stuff. And depending upon interest from folks, you know, Delaware, Maryland, Virginia, and also Pennsylvania, New Jersey, I can have a guest come and talk about enrolling in NPIP in those states. But, you know, that's just not everybody's going to want to do that, but some people want some assurances that the eggs that their hens are putting out are free from salmonella. And since a lot of the states have the free NPIP program, I encourage you strongly to participate. So are there any questions about NPIP, the National Poultry Improvement Plan?
Is it a communist plot?
Oh dear. You both were speaking at the same time. I didn't hear what was said. I'm sorry about that.
I asked if it was a communist plot, Professor.
Oh.
That's a joke. It's all right.
Okay.
You don't have to take that seriously.
I'm sorry. I'm being all serious, and you're having fun. So I'm
just messing with you. Yeah.
And Andy, how about you?
My understanding is that they come out to your backyard once a year and basically do the test for every bird, and then, of course, inspect whatever else. But primarily, I guess it's a blood test for every bird that they do on your flock, and they do that once a year. So my question is, based on what they're testing for, which I guess is what, the plorium test that they do?
Typically, what you can enroll typically in the pilorum typhimer, or pilorum test is the most typical. But what they are looking for are antibodies to the bacteria, because salmonella is a bacterium, and if your bird has been exposed to salmonella, it's going to have antibodies to it, which means it could be a carrier. So it's a testament to your biosecurity program. Not so much, you know, commercial production, because there are commercial producers out here who aren't having egg recalls, but this one company is. But, you know, there's always a chance that your bird could be positive, and then you'll have to make some changes to your biosecurity program and try again later.
Well, now, Professor, isn't salmonella, I mean, it's in a healthy gut anyway, right? So, and people even have salmonella in their GI system. So, wouldn't everyone have a little bit of antibody positive test to this?
This is antibody specific to salmonella pilorum, and there are 2,000 different, over 2,000 different types of salmonella. So they're just looking for pilorum.
Okay, and do they test for any other diseases while they're testing for the pilorum?
Actually, the program can test for several different organisms. As I recall, I believe mycoplasma is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, mycoplasma gallinarum, mycoplasma synoviae. I'm not remembering every single one of them. Avian influenza is one of them. That's one of the newest ones that have been added.
Okay. Have there been any comparisons between backyard flocks with commercial flocks with respect to the antibodies and contamination? Is that tracked at all, is that just
familiar with it? There could be, and you know, if
that'd be a nice little research project.
Yes, but who's going to pay for it?
That's
always what I'm going to tell you.
There's no commercial interest in testing in finding that out.
I mean, it's there. I mean, there are flocks, small backyard flocks out there who are positive, and you just don't know it.
That's right. That's right. And they're perfectly healthy, running around.
Yeah, and your chickens are behaving healthy, and they could be carriers. And if you're going to sell your eggs, I think you want to protect yourself, because we live in a very litigious society. So if you do want to participate in the NPIP program, then, you know, if you pass, if your flock is free of salmonella pilorum, then you can, you know, you can go ahead and put that on your label saying, we're NPIP approved, just like the big guys.
I've got a question
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I have a question that I know we have listeners out there thinking, because I'm thinking it myself, and so no one's wanting to ask it, so I will ask it. They'd say they come in October and check my birds, and they come again the next October. Are they not testing for anything that the birds could actually get or catch or have over that 12-month period? So, like, if I sell eggs now in March, even though they tested in October, what's to say now in March my birds aren't going to be infected, if you will?
Because the timing is annual checks versus more than once. I mean, for small flocks, you're basically assuming that everyone has pretty much good biosecurity in closed flocks, with the exception of people who show quite a bit, and then they know already about biosecurity and what they need to do to protect their flocks. But if you have a small flock of 25 laying hens and you're selling a few extra eggs and you want to participate in the program and it's free in your state, then why not? I mean, it's just a snapshot, how are your birds doing in this year? And, you know, everyone pretty much has good biosecurity, hopefully, and it is a snapshot in time. And you can ask your state if they'll test more frequently. Some will.
But I guess they basically think that once a year is ample, otherwise they would be doing it more. Knowing the government wanting more control, you can imagine they probably want to do it more than once a year. But yeah, at this time, at one year. Perfect.
Honestly, if you and we're talking about all your birds, but if you have several hundred birds, then they're going to take a subsample of those birds. Typically, if you have less than 100 birds, I believe you have to have them all tested. Because statistically speaking, if you miss the one bird in your flock that's positive, then pretty soon all your birds could be positive. But if you have, you know, 100,000 chickens, you're just going to test a subsample. You're not going to test every single bird. You're going to test a subsample, a statistically significant subsample of that large number of birds. Mm-hmm. So all it is really is you gather up your birds, the tester comes, and you bring them the birds one by one, and they take a little blood from the wing, and they swirl that around on a glass plate, and they put drops of antibodies on that blood spot, and very quickly the antibodies will react with the antigen if they're there. The antigen is the little bottle that they carry around with them, and if it's there, the blood will start clumping. If it's not, it won't. And you'll know in about 30 seconds to a minute if your bird's positive or not. It's pretty darn cool. And then they move on to the next bird. And you can get done with 30 birds, you know, if you're not running around catching them, if you've got them all penned up, you can be done in about, an hour, if that.
Question from the chat room from Kelly in Georgia. How does it spread? Is it spread from bird to bird?
Yes, it can. It can also spread from hen to chick. And pilorium is a devastating disease to chicks. Used to be called bacillary white diarrhea. The hen carries the organism in her liver, and the liver is from whence we get a lot of the fats that go into the yolk. So the bacteria hitch a ride on the fats on its way to making the yolk. When that yolk is fully formed, it goes inside the eggshell. It's almost as though the chick never had a chance. Sometimes they don't hatch at all. Sometimes they hatch sick. Sometimes they hatch and live, but they'll also be carriers. But if you get chicks that arrive at your house that you've ordered or that you've picked up and they die within a week, yeah, you might want to have those chicks taken over to the diagnostic lab to see if salmonella didn't play a role, especially if you got them from a non-NPIP-approved hatchery. So that's one of the things you need to consider, is that it really does a number on very young chicks. The first 10 days of their life, if they die, one of the first things that a poultry diagnostician will think of is, was this bacterial, was this Salmonella pylorum? So they'll do some of the necessary tests. I see Lucky Star 23 says, how do they get infected? And I'm going to say, Lucky Star, I've got a question for you. Do you mean in the first place? It can be environmental. It could be brought in from another flock, bad biosecurity on your part. If your birds do have it, how do you eradicate it? That's a question for a veterinarian. And I think one of the things that I would first do is put the birds that are positive in quarantine and consult your veterinarian on that. So let's see. Kelly in Georgia says she doesn't have it. She has a closed flock and some testing, and I assume she means pylorum testing. Okay, Lucky Star said yes. How did they get it in the first place? And I hope I adequately answered your question. They can get it from other birds that they come in contact with, other chickens. They can get it from their parents. And they can spread it to everyone in your flock if you've got new birds coming in. So that's why I always encourage folks, when you're ordering chicks, to get it from an NPIP-approved hatchery. They test their breeders, and they make sure that their breeding stock is clean so you don't get chicks that come in sick. So that's a very nice program that was put forth because it was a problem for a while in this country, but we seem to have done a very good job of nipping that in the bud. Now, Salmonella typhimurium is another type of salmonella that can cause illness in humans. That's the one that they're worried about for eggs. Pylorum is so that your chickens don't get sick and die. Typhimurium is the one that can make you sick, typically. And, typhimurium can behave in the exact same way. It can go from the hen to the chick through the egg, but typically it's picked up from the environment and passed on into the eggs from the hen. So probably something likely occurred with the biosecurity or management of the flock that was affected, and they produced a large number of eggs that were positive. And it's a good thing that they were checking, because they never would have caught the problem. They would have put out all kinds of eggs that were positive if we didn't have a regular testing program in this country. And for those of you who are old enough, do you remember back
in
the 80s? Well, then, Pat, you probably remember.
We're old
back
enough.
In the
I do
80s
remember
when
the
we
80s.
Had the scare?
And yes. Yeah, there was
do you
a huge
remember
recall.
That?
Wasn't it with peanut butter, too?
No, that was just eggs. Back in the early 80s.
Okay.
It was just eggs. And as I recall, that was I was living in Southern California at that time, and they had a flock that was positive. And so what they taught us in school was, what kind of work did they do? And luckily, I actually got to take a class with the gentleman who actually did some of the legwork on that. And he said, went to the farm, looked around, said, this place is pretty darn good, but what on earth is causing the birds to get sick? Well, the mice were positive. They tested all the environmental factors, and the mice were positive. Okay, where are the mice getting it from? All right, so...
Disneyland.
No. Sorry, wrong county.
Okay.
This was over in Riverside County, I think. And so they were looking at the mice, and they were looking at water sources, because the water sources were pretty much buttoned up that the chickens had access to. The mice weren't necessarily going to that, but there was a creek on the property. They tested the water. It was positive.
Mm-hmm.
Followed the creek. Went up the hill. Who was discharging?
Who's upstream?
Who was upstream? I believe, and I hope I'm remembering this correctly, sewage treatment plant had discharged water that hadn't been fully treated accidentally.
Rubble.
So it's all a big cycle, isn't it? It all is a giant cycle. So it wasn't necessarily the farmer's fault, other than that he couldn't completely exclude the mice, which
threw
everything.
They called it an accident, but we know the truth.
Well, there you go. But now you understand how, life is a big circle, and you never know. No, not cows, Kelly G.A. It was a human sewage treatment plant. So, sometimes accidents happen. And
so they need
occur.
To test people.
Yeah.
We ought to be out there testing the...
Yeah, have you been tested today, Pat?
No, but I have a raw egg in my smoothie.
So it could be something that you're doing on your very own property that causes the birds to be positive. And, that's why we always remind you about biosecurity and thinking about the big circle of life and what we could do to make little changes every day to make our flocks healthier and safer. So, I'm sure there are other questions out there on different topics that folks have. So, if someone wants to type into the chat room or give Andy a call, we can talk about some other topics. outside of this big egg recall that might be interest you at this time, might interest you on management, on biosecurity, on feeding or watering, or coop design, or whatever tickles your fancy. So today is you drive the boat, everybody. You go ahead and type in your questions.
There must be a lot of poultry scientists and PhDs out there that know it all, because I don't have a lot of callers calling in at all. So I guess all our listeners are just eggsperts, if you will, and know everything about poultry. And if you are, then go ahead and give us a call and tell us everything you know if you don't have a question. But if you do have a question, do definitely call us, 347-637-3237. That's 347-637-3237. You probably aren't with your chickens a single day without having some type of question that you would like to have answered and have it answered correctly. So 347-637-3237 if you have a question for Dr. Bridget McRae. And let's get over here to the chat room and see also in the chat room if you'll post your question.
There's a question there, Whisper. It's from Michelle. She says, I have a flock of six chickens. How concerned should I be? We use our eggs for personal consumption only, so they don't care about the NPIP program, but should they be concerned at all?
Well, it depends. Is it free in your area? Then why not participate? It's only once a year.
Because you get your name on a list.
Well, some people don't like that, but it's free testing anyhow. And you can actually have some, in some states, you can do the testing without signing up for NPIP. So do your homework.
Anonymous. Okay, anonymous.
Well, kind of anonymous. I mean, they got to have your phone number so they can call you back and say, your birds are clean.
Or dirty.
You know, or send you a letter, you know. But for a flock of six chickens, it depends on your biosecurity and your habits, Michelle. If they're show birds, then of course you're going to have more contact with other birds, and your level of risk increases. If you have a very close flock, you have excellent biosecurity, and you've never even had sniffles in your flock, I would say you're doing pretty well. But I'm always such a curious person anyhow. I test my birds just so I know here on campus if they're clean or not. Because there is that occasional stray bird that gets in.
Yeah, just like people. They sneak in and then they make everybody else sick.
Yeah.
There's another question there by Gray Artist, Professor. Doesn't have anything to do about with infection, but it says, is it easier to add new hens if there's a rooster in the flock?
Not
necessarily.
Does
that change the group dynamics?
It does change the group dynamics, but if there's a rooster, every rooster's different. Some do a good job at keeping the peace, others do not. And there is a separate hierarchy for hens than there are for roosters, although they do interact. The hens will still need to sort things out in their own personal pecking order, the female pecking order. The men's department there, the rooster's department, they have their own peck order. But he will assert dominance over all the hens, typically.
Okay. Professor, we have a caller with a question for you. Whisper, you want to bring him online?
Absolutely. One second here. Caller calling in from area code 978-978. You are live on the air with Dr. Bridget McRae. If you'll state your name and what state you're calling from, and then go ahead with your question, please.
Hi, Andy. Hi, Pat. Hey, Doctor. It's Bob Rosbury from Massachusetts.
Hey, Bob.
Hi.
Bob, you're in the chat room.
Oh, hey.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Massachusetts, right? You're in Massachusetts.
Yes, Massachusetts.
Okay. Welcome, Bob.
Thanks. My girls have stopped laying in the last 3 weeks. It's been exceptionally hot up here this summer, which is, I think, contributing to it. And we also had some younger pullets that we added into the flock. And I don't know. I'm looking for some ideas to...
I get this question a lot, so I'm glad you asked that. Great example. Way to go. All right. So what is the average daytime high been at about 4 o'clock?
I'd say probably around 90 or so.
Okay, and humidity?
Humidity's been up in the 60s and 70%.
But no days where it's been closer to 100?
No, other than rainy days, no. But it's
okay.
Been really hot and humid for our area.
Now, you're aware that some birds do molt in the summer, correct?
Yes, and it looks like after 2 weeks or so of the high heat and the egg production started to slow down, that they did go into a little molt.
Right.
Not a full-fledged molt, but almost like a
slow molt, maybe.
A slow molt, yeah.
And what happens is sometimes when you get those peaks in high temperatures, your birds do just say, oh, forget it. I'm just going to go molt. And it does happen. And sometimes the birds, when they're older, will do that in the summer. And sometimes when younger birds do it, they wait until winter, crazy birds. But it sounds like you're going through exactly what our flock here on campus is going through. They're molting right now after about 3 weeks ago, we had some super high temperatures during our fair season, and that threw them into a molt, and some are just taking their time getting through it. Now, your younger birds, did you keep them in quarantine before adding them to the rest of the flock?
Yes. They were brooding in the brooder box till about probably 8 weeks, and the coop was large enough that we sectioned off an area of the coop,
mm-hmm.
and had them in there probably for another 6 to 8 weeks.
Okay.
And now they're all integrated.
Okay. Nobody even gave you a single indication of the sniffles, and you got birds from a NPIP-approved flock and so on and so forth?
Yeah, well, the new birds we got were day-old chicks.
From?
My Pet Chicken.
Ah, got it. Okay.
So I guess they're approved. Health-wise, they all seem to be doing great.
Yeah, I would attribute it to the heat, and make sure they don't run out of water at all, not even half a day.
Yeah, we've added probably 4 more waterers.
Okay.
Yeah, soda pop bottle waterers all around the runs and stuff, and they get fresh
water. A lot
of
people will call me because, one day they kind of ran out of water, and then it happened the next day, and it, you know, 3 or 4 days in a row, if they run out of water, they're just going to go into a molt.
Right.
And they're going to stop laying. This is also a problem in the winter with freezing waterers. People will have the chickens, you know, every morning they come out and the chicken water is frozen, and this occurs for, you know, 10 days, and a few of the birds stop laying because they really need that water to make an egg.
Right.
So that's
more
likely
waterer.
What's happening.
Okay. Is there anything I should do with their feed to supplement it or anything? We have been giving them vitamins and electrolytes.
Do you have a source of oyster shell or calcium in there for them to pull from?
Yep.
Okay. That'll help them when they start to go back into lay. And, yeah, it's fine to give them electrolytes or vitamins. That's perfectly fine.
Okay. So we'll just wait it out. And
what a great question. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I really enjoy hearing you on the show.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Make sure you call in with your questions when we do this again.
Will do.
All right.
Thank you
Take
very
care.
Much.
Thanks for calling in. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And there's a great question in the chat room. Let me scroll up here to it. And it says, I have a hen that is egg-bound. I've done the warm bath and the seclusion in a box with a heating pad. Is there anything else that I can do for her?
No.
Come on, no gloved hand, KY jelly.
I never recommend it.
Preparation H is what I've used before. it really works.
I just say let nature take its course. If it's a hen that is nearing the end of her years and this becomes a consistent problem, then, you know, maybe you should start planning for more pullets next year. But I never recommend reaching in and going after an egg because you don't know what stage that egg is in shell strength. So if it breaks inside of her, that's going to kill her. So, I'm very sorry that this is happening, but, you know, maybe she's not the perfect egg producer for you. And I understand some of these animals are pets, and if you want to, you know, visit a vet, there's always that option.
Yeah, Kelly from Georgia is suggesting mineral oil, and you just kind of lube them up so they can move it a little faster. That's
turkey baster and mineral oil. I've heard that. I've heard olive oil. I've heard the KY and the whole nine yards, and trying to with a gloved hand feel it and then pushing on the belly to try to get it out. Yeah, you risk, I know, the egg breaking, but I guess it's die if you do, die if you don't, maybe scenario in some of these cases. But what do you think about the mineral? I'm sure you've heard it all, mineral oil and the syringe and the,
I can't in good conscience recommend anything that I know, you know, you're at greater risk of causing more harm than just leaving her alone and letting nature, take its course.
What would be some of the signs? Because I get this tons, and I know you do too. Is that what are the signs and symptoms of them being egg bound? Just sitting around, limping, walking funny, not wanting to move anywhere.
Move, basically having a very hot, red, swollen abdomen. And then when you separate them, you'll see that they're not laying their egg a day. And so when you've got them in their sick pen, you'll know that they're not producing an egg. You'll see it. And very soon, either they're going to expel an egg or they will pass. But it was very hot. I've had kids bring me at poultry shows egg-bound birds handing me the bird, saying, please help her. There's nothing you can do because it's inside of her still. And if she doesn't have good genetics, then I wouldn't propagate that bird or propagate that line of birds. It might be your best showing hen, but, you know, nature selected her out. She's not perfect.
Couldn't this happen? This hen that they were talking about is a year and a half old. So here they've been laying for, you know, about a year, no problems at all, and then all of a sudden,
and then
you
random
know,
things happen. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Sometimes
right,
random
right.
things happen. Let's see, we have Dev Oak. My girls are laying thin-shelled eggs. They have free choice oyster shell. Is there anything else I can do? Dev Oak, are they also laying eggshells that are lumpy or rippled or bumpy in appearance, kind of misshapen eggs? And hopefully he's listening and will type in his answer.
Yeah.
Perfect.
While they're waiting on that, Professor, there's another question. There are a couple more questions from Purple Lotus. Mm-hmm. Oh, here, they said, no, wrong one. What are some of the most biggest mistakes that new chicken owners make or overlook when setting up for their new flock? She's a lady in chicken waiting.
Okay, so what it is it's called impulse buying at the feed store. It's when you buy the chicks, you get sucked into it, and you don't have anything ready as soon as they get home. You don't have feeders, waters. You don't have a pre-warmed area. You've got to have a chick diet. You can't just feed them crushed up Cheerios because you forgot to pick up the feed at the feed store along with your cute fuzzy chicks. So, you know, avoid impulse buying. Do your homework ahead of time and pick a breed that suits your needs, not just because it's warm and fuzzy and soft at the feed store. So that's the biggest mistake that I see during the spring. Other times of the year, in the winter, the biggest mistake that I see people making is frozen waters. And everyone says, well, my coop, it's out at the barn, and we don't have electricity out there. I mean, I don't care if I don't get eggs in the winter. Yeah, but your chickens do. They're trying to, you know, trying to produce an egg a day for you, and that's what their body's telling them to do, and you're depriving them of water every day. So whatever you can do to keep the water from freezing in the winter is best. And they have heated water bases and so on and so forth. And during the summer, one of the biggest mistakes that I see people making is two things, actually. Running out of water, and that's never a good idea, especially on the excessively hot days. That is deadly for a chicken within hours.
It is. And people don't realize how essential it is for them to have fresh, clean water all the time.
Right. And a lot of times you'll go out there at 4 o'clock and you put water out at 8 a.m. and that water is hot as the container it's sitting in. So you have to keep the water cool, and that means changing it about every 4 hours on those super hot days. If you're at work, ask a friendly neighbor if they happen to be stay at home that day, if they'd be willing to help you out. Or, you know, maybe move the coop to an area that can stay a little bit cooler. We're also doing a little bit of work around here to talk about watering systems that deliver water from a tank that can stay a little bit cooler if it's placed in the shade than if you're like a mobile coop, than if it sits right next to that coop in direct sunlight.
Great. Professor, there's one more question. I'll just go ahead and ask it, and then we'll take a short break, and maybe you can answer it when we get back.
Mm-hmm.
And this one was a little earlier on the chat room, and she says, I was under the impression that store-bought eggs were virtually harmless. The eggs went through such a vigorous cleaning process and the chickens are well taken care of to the point where disease and bacteria were not an issue any longer in the U.S. So that's the question that's posted there. And
You have to use common sense. Absolutely no food out there is absolutely harmless. All right? There's always a chance that somebody at the store dropped it in a bucket of who knows what, and you pick it up and you get sick. I mean, there's always that chance. But now that we know so much more about bacteria and viruses and how they behave, we tend to have much better systems of examining foods for them. And we've learned a lot over the past 100 years or so about how to look at bacteria, how to find the bacteria that cause sickness, and how to learn more about the bacteria and viruses that cause sickness and illness. And so sometimes things slip up. We are all human. And the foods that you buy at the store, for the most part, are safe. But when food recalls occur, it's because we have testing systems, because we know that the bacteria could be there. When 150 years ago, we didn't test foods. You went to the store, you took your chances with buying flour off the shelf, and, you know, it might have bugs in it, it might not. But now we know how to package things much better. We know how to test for certain things. Yes, the food may go out, and the tests take their time in coming back, but that's why we have the food recall system. So we've been planning ahead, and that's how we get the system that we do. And if you take a food safety class through your county extension class or county extension office, you'll get an even greater understanding and appreciation of our food safety system here in the United States and some of the factors that have determined how it operates.
Okay. Well, with that information, we'll take just a short break to honor our sponsors, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're talking with Professor Bridget McRae of Animal Science and Poultry Science. Thank you. Thank you. We'll be right back.
Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer, here to tell you that if you have backyard poultry, nothing is more important than making sure your feathered friends are safe from infectious poultry diseases. Learn the simple steps to keep your birds healthy by visiting this website, healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov. That's healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov.
A message from the USDA.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com. That's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
Today's secret password is COOP. Today's secret password is COOP.
ManaPro is committed to providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. No matter the animal, no matter the product, you can be certain that ManaPro cares as much about the well-being of your flock as you do. So try one of the many poultry products offered at a retailer near you. ManaPro, nurturing life.
Established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waters, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-0651 or visit them online at gqfradio.com. That's gqfradio.com.
When you find yourself in danger, when you're threatened by a stranger, when it looks like you will take a licking, there is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
All righty. Thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. We've had a great show with Dr. Bridget McCray, PhD, poultry scientist, professor, and small flock specialist, answering all of our questions that we could possibly have. And it is now time to move on here a little bit to our chicken trivia contest we have to get to. But any last comments, Bridget, regarding any topics that we've had today, or maybe one last question in the chat room that you may have seen or maybe didn't cover?
Still trying to see what Dave Oaks' problem might still be. So I was thinking perhaps if he's feeding something other than strictly a balanced diet, food scraps or scratch, that might have diluted their diet and thinned out their shells. And then to correct that, I would simply just put them on a balanced diet strictly for several months. Other things, that it could be an illness in the flock, lurking in the flock, so I might do a blood test if that's free in your state, you know, see if they have antibodies for anything. And, you know, otherwise they might be starting to go into a molt. Sometimes that's the determining factor before they go into a molt, is they're thin, their eggshells get very, 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 very thin all of a sudden. So those are some of the things that could be investigated by Dev Oak. One of the things I did want to ask your listeners, I have my introduction to poultry science class coming up this fall, and was wondering if I might ask your listeners to email me or type in the chat box some subjects that they would like a 3-page paper on by my students. I like to give my students a variety of topics on which to write. And since there is a writing component to my class, I have to have, you know, paper topics from them to choose from. So out there, listeners, are there any subjects that you would like a short little three-page fact sheet on that I can ask my students to write on your behalf?
Yes, I've got one right now.
Oh, good. Okay, hit me.
Because I get this all the time. I've got it for years and years and years, and I still hear people talk about it. Why should you not, keyword here is not, why should you not give your chickens yogurt?
Oh, yes. Okay. That's a really good one for my students to look up and give you a lot of the science behind. Perfect question. Excellent. And then there's some good resources locally that they can meet and interview folks on. So thank you. Any other questions out there in the chat room? Let's see.
Definitely post it in the chat room. And, of course, we'll cover this again tomorrow. We'll get your email address, and they can send those comments. I mean, I can think of several based on the number of questions I get that I get kind of all the time, like I'm sure you do, Bridget and Pat as well. And there's your the email address. And we'll post it on Facebook. Like I said, after the show today, we'll post this request as well. I think the short answer to that, Terry, Nick, is that they do not have the enzyme required to help break that yogurt down. It'll give them diarrhea. In fact, I believe I've learned this from Bridget that some people in the past have just given ample amounts of yogurt to their chickens when they had coccidiosis.
Milk. It was milk.
Okay, to try to flush it out. Milk, to flush out that when they had coccidiosis. So I definitely would love to have that three-page study, and so I could pass it around to folks when I hear that. Because I've been
not so much a
guilty
study, more of a fact sheet. So it's they have to have a term paper for the class. So okay,
we're gonna get into the chicken trivia contest. We'll run out of time, but Bridget will be in the chat room. I know that Bard Rock has a follow-up questions. There's a couple of more in there that we want to follow up, so if you're in the live chat room, you can continue asking Dr. McRae those questions, and we're going to go ahead and get into the chicken trivia contest because we've got to give away a prize here, Bridget, and I'll post that on the Facebook page afterwards so we can get you lots of content for
and
your
thank
students.
Thank you,
you've
everyone.
How's the
you
real
great
quick
questions today.
How is the grant coming along? I know that we've been posting that quite frequently to vote. You can vote every single day. How's that coming along?
It's slow and steady. We have, let's see, our ranking as of now is 286. So it doesn't look at this point like we're going to win. But I sure appreciate everyone still doing a last-minute push right at the end. Maybe we can improve our ranking nonetheless. I have great comments down at the bottom from those of you who have contributed. I do see an Andy S. on here. It says, power to the poultry. I wonder who that is. But it's a good idea that I will continue to hunt for funding sources on so that we can help folks, learn more about actually recycling some of your food scraps and if it affects egg production, shell strength, certain breeds may be more affected than others. So I kind of am very curious in finding out more about this.
Perfect. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you back here in a couple of weeks. The first and third Thursday of every month, we welcome Dr. Bridget McRae to the show, and lots of great topics, lots of great questions are answered. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you. And remember, think of those questions that you'd like a little fact sheet on.
Definitely.
We'll
get those over to Bridget. All righty. The number to call in, if you know the following question, is 347-637-3237. You're going to win a DVD of Mad City Chickens. Filmmakers Deshai and Robert take you into the backyard like you've never seen it before. From chicken experts and authors to a rescued landfill hen to an inexperienced family that decides to take the poultry plunge and even a mad scientist and giant hen taking to the streets. It's a humorous and heartfelt trip through the world of backyard chickendom. And over 60 minutes of extras. The DVD includes the marketing of Mad City Chickens and share along from Mother Earth News and lots of great tips and interviews, and that $21.95, $21.95 value, Mad City Chickens DVD from, of course, McMurray Hatchery, Thursday's radio show sponsor and sponsor of the Chicken Trivia, 347-637-3237, 347-637-3237, if you know the answer to the following question. What is the original name of the Cochin breed before coming to America in 1845? I know you know this right off the top of your head because I did not. What is the original name of the Cochin breed before coming to America in 1845? I remember the breeds just walking off the boat when we all came over together, but I do not remember what we called them. I think we were just calling them, "Hey, Berg, get over here." So if you know the original name of the Cochin breed before coming to America in 1845, then you're a brainiac, and you need to call in right now at 347-637-3237 and give me that answer. Inquiring minds want to know. And give us a call and tell us. I know somebody out there knows this, Pat, but they only have a couple of minutes.
I'm sure they do. I think they were the Pilgrim chickens, weren't they? I bet there's the whole Daughters of the First American Chicken League out there in the poultrydom, something that came back in 1845. Oh, my gosh. That was just 20 years before the Civil War, just to put it into a time frame a little bit. Where are you getting these questions, Whisper? They're really good, but where are you getting them?
What do you mean? I thought all this was just common knowledge to the everyday chicken keeper. Come on now.
Oh, gosh. We're going to be so smart about chickens, we'll have to get a degree.
Absolutely. I think so, too. I mean, it's like everybody should know this question. I mean, you know. Okay, let me go over to the switchboard real quick. Wow, my goodness gracious. Lots of people know this question. There's a lot of brainiacs out there. And so let me see here. We're going to take what we always do is take caller number 7. So let me get over here and see. Boom, lucky number 7. Let me go here. All righty, we're going to the phone lines because we're running out of time. All righty, caller number 7 from area code 214. Area code 214, you're live on the radio. State your name and what state you're calling from, please.
Hey, good morning. This is Dave from Texas.
Dave from Texas.
Hadn't heard from you in a while, Dave. And, since it's just right off the top of my head and off the tip of my tongue, I know this. But what answer would you like to give us today?
We'll try to go with Shanghai. Let's see, what is it? Shanghai chicken? Is that right?
Yes,
pretty close.
Chinese Shanghai fowl. So, you got the Shanghai part and the fowl part, and it's the Chinese Shanghai fowl. So, congratulations, Dave. Dave, you're on Facebook, right?
Not really. I'm not active
okay.
on it.
That's fine. I'll give you a call after the show and get your shipping address there for McMurray Hatchery so they can get you out this winning DVD. And Dave, thank you very much out there in Texas for listening today. I'll call you and get your information after the show. So congratulations to Dave. I thought, you know, hey, everybody knows the answer to that question, including moi. Yeah, right. So we got about 60 seconds left. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Tomorrow is another fun Friday. We finally made it through another week together, so tomorrow it's time to get laid back, relax, and give away some more prizes from our sponsors. Thank you for Dr. Bridget McCray today, all of our sponsors, and, of course, my co-host, Pat Foreman. And, Pat, take it away, my friend.
Yeah, well, really, really interesting day. I mean, there's just so much to learn about chickens. It just amazes me continually. So, again, thanks to Dr. Bridget McCray from the Department of Agriculture and Natural Resources at Delaware State University. Lots of information about small flocks. Of course, Andy, thanks to you for bringing us together. Thanks to the chat room chicken ears and all our listeners for clucking along. And, of course, thanks to Blog Talk Radio for their chat, radio, and video services. Blessings to all. We love all of you, and may the flock be with you evermore. God bless everybody.
Mm-hmm.